have Brother Anthony with us this morning, Anthony Agin. He is going to Peru in his family. We're excited about having him here with us this morning. He had the Sunday school hour, and now he's going to preach for us, and we appreciate you being here.
I appreciate it. Amazing. Man, well, it's a joy to be here this morning. I appreciate y'all listening to me as I rambled on about this morning, about Peru and all we do. I appreciate the Lord calling us to be missionaries, and I've said it almost every church I go to. I don't understand why in the world he's called us. He could have called anybody in the world to go down there, but he's allowed our little family to go and take the best news in all the world to those people down there in Peru. And as I shared a little bit ago, they're hungry people for it, amen. And something we see here is it's amazing how things are just so flip-flopped. It's like here in the States, in a sense, you understand what I'm saying, that the gospel is just pretty much everywhere it seems to be. I mean, I know there's still people that clearly need to be reached in America. There's places that still need churches and church plants as well. But widespread, the gospel is about everywhere in the sense as far as you can pull it up on apps, you can pull it up on a radio, and there's churches all over different places, especially here in the South, and different things. It's like the gospel's almost everywhere, but yet there's so few that seem to want it here in the States. But then you go down to somewhere like Peru, as we saw, and it's like it's pretty much the opposite. There's such a hunger for it, such a hunger for the gospel, but yet so few to take it to them. And man, I'm just so thankful that the Lord has allowed us to go and give us the opportunity and the privilege to go. And I don't deserve for him to use me at all. I know how I failed the Lord. I know how I've just messed up and disappointed him so many times. But I'm so thankful that the Lord still allows us to do things for him, that he doesn't say one strike, two strike, three strikes, you out. But he's a God of second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and tenth, and 100 chances. Hey, man, praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you turn with me to John chapter number 4, I'm going to look here at a familiar passage, and again, you have to excuse my voice, and kind of, I got some allergies, and I just come out of a revival. I was preaching a revival down in Spies, North Carolina, and I was just this past week there from Sunday morning to Wednesday night, and felt like I was training my voice a little bit, but my voice was trying to go out on me at the beginning of the week. I think the devil was trying to fight me on that, but Lord helped me, we got through that. But it was a blessing, but so my voice isn't quite what it needs to be with all this allergy stuff, but I hope you bear with me this morning. John chapter number 4, I want to look here at a familiar passage. We'll look here, start reading in verse number 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." We'll hold off reading there at in the passage. And I want to share something with you this morning as I get into this message, that everybody here is one of two things. I understand that we're here this morning. We're the missionaries that God's called to go to Peru. But everybody in here this morning is one of two things. You are either a missionary or you're a mission field this morning. Amen. You're a missionary or a mission field. You say, what do you mean by that? How so? Well, you may not be a missionary to the extent of maybe what God's called us as far as a foreign missionary. God's called us to go to a foreign field. But everybody that's been saved by the grace of God has received the command to go and to take the gospel and to share the gospel with those around us. And so this morning, you're either a missionary, and meaning by that that you have received the gospel. You have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for your sin. And therefore you've been saved, therefore now you've received the command to go and tell, which makes you a missionary. Or you're a mission field this morning. What does that mean? You're a mission field. You're somebody that needs to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. We talk about, for us, we talk about Peru as our mission field. That's where God's called us to go. That's the mission field we're called to. But it's so many times we look at it like it's the physical place. But it's really the people that are the mission field. It's the people that need to receive Jesus Christ. It's the people that are lost in Peru. That is the mission field. And can I say, I believe that there are mission fields all around us today. Everywhere we look, there are mission fields. There's people without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. People that are lost all around us. There's mission fields everywhere. There may be some in here this morning that's sitting here. You've never put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can I say you're a mission field this morning? You need to believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. So this morning, you're either a missionary or a mission field. Which one are you this morning? I want to preach on this thought. From a mission field to a missionary. Amen. From a mission field to a missionary. As we just read in our passage, Jesus just had a conversation with this woman. He's journeying on his way, and he comes to this well, and he sits there. He's tired. He's weary. And he meets this woman that's coming to this well. And Jesus has a conversation with her. Now, this is a big thing because the Jews, as we read here, did not have dealings with the Samaritans. They were The Jews hated the Samaritans. They were kind of seen as a half Jewish and half Gentile, and it was a mixed breed, if you will. They'd intermarried and intermingled there, and they were no longer considered pure Jews, and they did not get along. And but we see that Jesus goes and he's breaking the barrier here, amen. Where some would not go and talk to the Samaritans. I mean, they'd literally go all their way out of the way to go around if they had to. They would not go through Samaria. They did not want to deal with them. They didn't want nothing to do with them. But can I say, Jesus Christ went to them, amen. I'm glad that he didn't go around. I'm glad he didn't avoid that woman, but he went to that woman. He went to break the barrier there, and I'm thankful for that. Red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight, amen. Praise the Lord for that. And we see this conversation that Jesus has with this woman as he is revealing himself to be the Messiah to her. Man, could you imagine what that must have been like? Standing there talking to Jesus face to face, all of a sudden talking, and she's saying, I know that Messiah is cometh, and all these things. And he says later in the passage, I that speak unto thee am he. Man, could you imagine what that had to have been like? Realize that as she'd come to realize that. Excuse me, I tell you, my voice is wanting to act up on me this morning. Y'all pray for me. I mean, here we see, first of all, she was told of that living water. This woman here is told of the living water. Look at verse 14 again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He is telling her of the living water. I'm telling you something on this morning. Aren't you glad that somebody told you about living water? Amen. Aren't you glad that somebody come your way and told you about Jesus Christ? I'm thankful to be born in a land today where the gospel is around, where we have freedom to the gospel, where people have... I've grown up in the gospel all my life. Amen. I shared it in Sunday school that I've grown up in church. My dad's pastored about all my life. That's all I've ever known is going to church and going to meetings, and we'd be the first one there, the last to leave during the week, during revivals and different things. Sometimes we went when nobody was there just to clean the church. Amen. I mean, we was there all the time. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I was raised in the gospel. I was raised to know the gospel. It didn't mean that I was automatically saved, amen. I still had to be saved by the grace of God. But I'm glad that I was raised to hear the gospel and hear about Jesus and to know what he did for me. There's many people in our country today that still don't know the gospel. Even just right here in America, still don't know the gospel. And how sad that is. In Peru, there's many people that don't know the gospel. And that's why we're commanded to go, and that's why God sends missionaries across around the world. That's why God calls us to be local missionaries. If he's not called you to be a foreign missionary, if he's not put it on your heart to go to a foreign field, it doesn't mean that he's excused you from service this morning. Amen. We're still commanded to take the gospel. He just means for it to be local this morning. Amen. If he's not called you to be a foreign missionary, he's called you to be a local missionary this morning. And I'm thankful that we have heard the gospel. I'm thankful for that opportunity that I've heard to hear the gospel. You say, what is that? What are you talking about this morning? What is the gospel? What is the good news? What is that living water? What is the salvation he's talking about? Amen. If you're here and you've never heard the gospel, can I present it to you real quick? Amen. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and he lived a sinless, perfect life. Amen. He came. God robed in flesh. Amen. Came and was born of a virgin. Amen. And he lived, as I said, a sinless, perfect life. He kept the law, the very thing that we could not keep. Amen. He never sinned. He never had one bad thought. He never went anywhere he wasn't supposed to go. He never said anything he wasn't supposed to say. I mean, he was perfectly obedient to his Father's will. He kept the law that we broke. He fulfilled everything that we could not do. And then he went to the cross and to die as a substitute. Amen. I like over there. Praise God, my voice may go out. That's hard. I'll whisper in the microphone. Amen. I like over there in Genesis chapter number 22, where Abraham and Isaac, they're on their way going up the mountain, up Mount Moriah. God's going, he's being obedient to what God told him to go sacrifice Isaac. And I like that, how you find over there in Genesis 22, Isaac asked his father, he said, "Behold, the fire, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" I like that. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. He said, "My God will provide himself a lamb." And I like how John the Baptist answered his question all those years ago. Amen. Is there something back here?
I think there's.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for some cold water. Amen. But I like how John the Baptist answered that question. As Isaac asked him, he said, "Where is the lamb?" And John the Baptist, all those years ago, when he sees Jesus coming his way, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he didn't say which hides the sin of the world. He didn't say which kind of covers it up for a little while, which puts it off till the next year. No, he said which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God for that. I'm glad that my sin's not just something I'll have to just deal with. It's gone, amen. Because my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. He was my perfect substitute. He was my perfect sacrifice on the cross. And can I say this morning, he was your perfect substitute and perfect sacrifice. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. Amen. He paid the penalty for our sins. You know what? If you're in a courtroom and you got a stack of fines, speeding fines or whatever it may be, sitting up there, and you're guilty. You've broken the law. You're guilty of that. All those times that you broke the law, I mean, a stack of speeding fines, the judge can say, "Hey, this is a very serious thing. I mean, you could have killed somebody. This is serious." They said, but somebody just stepped up and they paid your fine. You know what that judge could do? He could legally let you walk out of the courtroom because somebody paid your fine for you. Amen. And you know what that, excuse me, that's what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
He paid your fine for you. Amen. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve to be separated from God for all of eternity because of our sins. You say, how do you get that? The Bible says, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All means, all that covers all of us in here this morning. We've all sinned, and it says, come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." What is wages? We go to work and we earn wages. We get paid for what we do, right? That Bible says we are paid in death for what we've done, the sins that we've done. He's paying us in death. That shows how serious sin is in the sight of God. And so we all deserve to die and be separated from God for all of eternity and suffer in a place called hell and in torment forever and ever. But Jesus, amen. But Jesus came on the scene. He came and died, and he went to the cruel Roman cross. I mean, he endured all the stuff. He had his beard plucked out. I mean, they spat upon him. They smote him with their hands. They put the crown of thorns down on his head. I mean, all these things. He went to the whipping post where they used the cat of nine tails, and they have bone and that have shards of glass and steel, whatever it was, different things, and it would wrap around them. As they'd whip around it, it would lash around him and dig in those bones. Shards of glass and stuff would dig into the flesh. flesh, and then they'd rip it out. And a lot of times those Roman soldiers, what they'd do, they'd use it for sport. They'd have somebody tied up there at the whipping post, and they'd take turns, and then one would whip around them and lash them, yank it, and see how much they could pull off. Then the next one would take turns, and they'd whip around them. See, it was a game, it was a sport to them. And they said that not many people, quite a few people, let me put it this way, flip it, quite a few people died at that post. Not a lot made it through that to go to the cross. A lot of people would just bleed out and die right there. But I'm glad. Woo! God made it through Jesus Christ. He made it through that. And he went all the way to the cross. And he was nailed on that cross and was lifted up for your sins and for mine. And you realize this morning, it was not those three nails that held him to that cross. He was the Son of God. He could have got himself off that cross. But it was your sin. It was my sin that held him on that cross. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what that joy was this morning? It was you. Amen. And me. It was the joy of us and having us for all of eternity to himself, to worship and serve and live with him forever. That was the joy that drove him to that cross.
Amen.
That is the gospel this morning, that Jesus came and he died on the cross for your sins as a substitute sacrifice for your sins, and that he was laid in a tomb and buried, and he rose again 3 days later. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
That is the gospel this morning. I'm thankful for that living water. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's what it is. Through you come to Christ in repentance and faith, believing what he did on Calvary for you. I could say, a lot of people know that. A lot of people know what Jesus did on Calvary. A lot of people, you go out in the world and ask them, say, do you know what God did for guilty sinners so they wouldn't have to go to hell? A lot of people, it surprised you. A lot of people know that. They'll say, yeah, wasn't it something about Jesus? He died on the cross or something, wasn't it? A lot of people know that, but they don't appropriate it. They don't put their faith and trust in that. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I mean, hey, the demons, they were around. They watched it. They watched him be crucified. I believe this chanting. I believe this happy for it. I believe they knew that he was buried. They were around the tomb. I mean, man, they were probably rejoicing, thinking, man, we won the victory. They believe he rose again because they saw the empty tomb. They saw him get up. They saw him afterward. And so they know all that stuff, but what's the difference? They're not putting their faith in that for salvation, amen. And there's a difference in that. If I looked at this chair and I say, I believe that looks like a good chair. It looks like a sturdy chair. I mean, it looks like well-built. It looks like it. I believe everything. I believe that would hold me up. I believe it. I believe that's a strong chair, a sturdy chair. You know the difference in that, just head knowledge and heart knowledge?
Right.
I believe intellectually, I believe that's a good chair.
Right.
I believe that could hold me up. But you know where the difference comes in? Where you say, I believe it enough, I'm going to put my faith in it.
Amen.
I'm going to rest in it. Amen. I hope
that's
it
right.
Does hold me up. Amen. No. Amen. But when you put your faith in it and you rest in it, you say, I'm going to trust in this. That's where the difference is made. You say, I believe that he came and died. A lot of people know that Jesus came. A lot of people know that Jesus lived and walked the earth. A lot of people know intellectually the stuff. But where the difference comes in is when you put your faith in that, you trust in that. And say, Lord, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in anything I've done. I'm not trusting in my works, and in righteousness, in religion, in riches. I'm not trusting in any of that stuff. I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in what you did on Calvary for my sins. That's when it can be applied to your life. Amen.
Amen.
And God has called us, just as Jesus, the Bible said, he must needs go through Samaria. He had a purpose to go there, to reach that woman. Peru is our Samaria. Amen. That's where God's called us. We must needs go to Peru. Where must you need to go? Amen. Where is some area that you need to go to? What's your Samaria? What is some area that needs you to take the gospel to it? Amen. It could be around you today. We see she was told of that living water. That is the gospel message this morning. Number two, she tasted of the living water. She tasted of this living water. Verse 15. It says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And down in verse 25 and 26, we find where she's realizing who he is. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Man, she tasted of the living water. In other words, she believed on him and was saved by the grace of God. I love how Jesus always deals with people in ways they can understand. Amen. Here she was. She was coming to draw water. So he used water to picture salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we just got to have things dumbed down for us. Amen. I know I'm a witness to that. Amen. I got to have it put down on my level. Amen. Where I can understand it. And man, she believes on Jesus and was saved. And I'm glad that he did not refuse her because of her past. And this woman had a past. Amen. She was known. She was known for her past. And all these men she had been with that weren't her husband, and then the man she was, or men that she had been with, her husband that she had been divorced from, now the man she's living with is her husband. I mean, man, she's not living right with God, but yet Christ didn't refuse her because of her past. Praise the Lord for that. Aren't you glad He didn't refuse any of us because of our past?
Amen.
Amen. I'll be the first to say praise the Lord for that. Amen. I mean, I'm glad that He didn't say, well, as long as you hadn't done this, well, as long as you just not done this. Well, now this particular thing over here, that's just a little too far, farther than I'm willing to go. No, I'm glad that there's no sin the blood of Jesus Christ can't cover. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That song, I believe it may be in the hymn books, it says, it's called "To God Be the Glory." Amen. I like that one verse. It says, "The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives." Amen. And hear this, from the heart, from her heart, she longed for satisfaction. She longed for something to fill that void in her life. She was looking in all the wrong places, though. Is there somebody here maybe this morning? Maybe you're a mission field this morning. You've never been saved by the grace of God. You're looking in all the wrong places. You're trying to find fulfillment and joy and peace and happiness in this, and this is not, it's not satisfying. You're trying to find joy and peace and satisfaction in this, and it's not satisfying. You're looking in all the places. Can I say, there is something inside of us. There's an emptiness inside of us that only Jesus Christ can fill. And when He does fill that, you will have that peace that you're looking for. You will have that satisfaction you're looking for. You will have that joy that you're looking for. It's in Jesus Christ. Man, there's so many out in the world today. They're searching. They're searching. They're looking. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, all these things. They're looking in all these places trying to just find something to make them happy. Give them satisfaction, peace, whatever. And they can't find it. It's leaving them empty. Leaving them longing for something else. There's mission fields all around us today. You don't have to be called to a foreign field to be a missionary. There's missionaries, mission fields all around us today that need missionaries, local missionaries, to take the gospel to them. We see when she tasted of that water, in other words, when she believed on Jesus, first of all, her thirst was quenched. It said, verse 14 again, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." You see, before, she desired the things of the world. She desired earthly things. Again, let me take water and picture that. How she come to the well to draw water, but it's earthly water. Amen. I done took how many sips of that thing, and I got to take another. Amen. Praise the Lord. It don't satisfy. I wish one gulp could satisfy me for the rest. They don't work. You got to keep drinking more and more and more. It's a temporary satisfaction. And that's how she was. She was coming for this worldly water, the earthly water. In other words, she was searching for things in her life, worldly things, and they won't satisfy. They'll leave you empty. They'll leave you longing for more. Do you remember your life before you met Jesus? Do you remember how things were in your life before you got saved? Her thirst was quenched. When she believed on Jesus, her thirst was quenched. Her soul was quickened. Verse 14 again, "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into" what? "Everlasting life." Praise the Lord. That word "quicken" means made alive, brought to life. You see, we really only exist. We exist on this earth. We really truly begin to live when you get saved. Amen. You start living when you get the liver on the inside. Amen. Then you can live. You got life. Amen. And here she tasted the water. She believed on Jesus. She received salvation. I wonder this morning, have you come to the well spiritually? Have you come to the well? Have you ever realized that you were lost and needed to be saved? Has the Holy Spirit of God showed you that? Have you called out to God in faith and repentance? Believing on Him. Believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for your salvation. Has your thirst been quenched? Has your soul been quickened like this woman? If so, then it ought to be evident, amen, in all of our lives. Matthew 7:20 says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." It ought to be easy to identify a Christian that's living for the Lord. Amen. What happens if the Bible says, "Let your light shine"? I believe we just sung a song about that, amen. Let our light shine. What happens? I don't see a candle around here. What happens if you light a candle? If we lit a candle with all these lights on in here, it probably wouldn't do too much. I mean, you may see it if you're focused in on it and look at it. But what happens if you start cutting them lights off like we did for the video in Sunday school. You start cutting the lights off one by one or dimming the lights down. As the lights get darker and darker, or the room gets darker and darker, that little candle, that little flame is going to get brighter and brighter. It ain't doing anything. It's not burning any hotter. It's not doing anything. It's going to naturally start getting brighter and brighter. And that's how it ought to be in our life, amen. As a candle, as a light, he said, ye are the lights of the world, amen. We have the light of Christ inside of us if we've been saved by the grace of God. And can I say this world, it's getting darker and darker. It's getting more wicked. It's getting ungodly. And as this world around us gets darker and darker, naturally our light ought to be getting brighter and brighter and brighter because we're standing for God. We're standing for truth. We're living for the Lord. We're obeying the Bible, amen. Here we see that this woman started out. She started out as a mission field. She was not saved. She needed to be saved by the grace of God. She started out as a mission field, needing to receive the gospel. And Jesus went specifically for her. We see she was told of the living water. Number two, she tasted of the living water. Then number three, we see she testified of this living water. Look at verse number 28 and 29. That says down verse 28 and 29. Excuse me, let me flip my page. It says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then down in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She began testifying of this living water now. You notice when she began testifying of it? We just read it in the verse there. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. She didn't take no time. Amen. She began right away going and telling somebody else about what she just experienced. I mean, man, she didn't take time to kind of ease into this thing and warm up. Amen. She took off for the town, wanted to go tell somebody. Amen. I mean, she literally went from being a mission field, needing to be saved. Now she believed on Jesus. She got saved. Now she became a missionary just like that. Now all of a sudden she's wanting to go tell somebody else, amen, how that ought to be with us as a child of God. How many years have we been saved by the grace of God? And it seems like time after time after time we'll miss opportunities to go share the gospel with somebody else. We won't take opportunities. We won't go tell somebody. We've got the best news in all the world. Why are we not sharing it with other people, amen? I just heard a message Friday night. Went over to my dad pastors in Community Baptist Church in Siler City. And he had a special two-night youth meeting going on with Brother Kenny Baldwin. I don't know if anybody in here has ever heard of him. Black preacher preaches as he said, 3 miles south of the Pentagon. Right there in Washington, D.C. And man, he preached a powerful message on I am not ashamed of the gospel. Man, I'm telling you, convicted my heart. It was challenging. And how many times we are truthfully ashamed. We'll say, oh, praise God. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm a Christian, amen. But then we don't want the world to see it, amen. We'll go eat out. When it's time to pray over the meal, we'll do the drop the napkins kind of thing. We'll drop, Lord, thank you for this food, amen. Amen. You know, kind of duck down so nobody sees us praying, amen. Do some kind of little, we're secret service Christians, amen. We ought not to be no secret service Christians. We ought to be open about it. Let the world see it. Hey, they're not ashamed of what they do. This, all this ungodly mess. They're not ashamed to push their agendas. They're not ashamed to push the worldly views and what they believe. Hey, we ought to be not be ashamed to push Christ and let them know, hey, I stand for Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, amen. She testified of this living water. She left everything she came for. I mean, man, she brought a bucket to the well to get water. She left the bucket, left the water, everything, took off and go tell the men. As one preacher put it, I've heard him put it before, he said, she left the water pot and took the well, amen. The Bible says there was a well inside of her springing up to everlasting life. And man, she went back to tell others about Jesus. D.L. Moody once said, God never sends anyone away empty, except those who are already full of themselves. Man. She left the bringing of water for the bringing of men. When she testified of that water, first of all, her testimony was believed. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, she told me all that ever I did. Not just from the saying, but I believe also from the evidence of her life. People believed what she was saying. I believe from the evidence of her life. Because, again, this woman had a past and people knew about it. People knew the past. She was coming at a different time to the well. She couldn't come when all the other women came. She'd be mocked. She'd be scorned because of her lifestyle, because of what she was, how she was living. And she came by herself to the well. I'm telling you, excuse me. I believe the evidence of her life said something. Amen. Never before had this woman been running through town talking about Jesus. That ain't what she was chasing after before, amen. But man, all of a sudden, she's running through town talking about, there's a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I mean, man, she went trying to tell somebody about Jesus. Her testimony was believed. Her testimony was received. Verse 42, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They saw something in this woman that they wanted. Something was different about this woman. Does the world see something in us and do they want what we have? Do they see something different in us than what they see everybody else? You realize any old fish can float downstream, right? Any dead fish can float downstream, right? It takes a live fish with something in them to turn tail and swim against the current. Fight the current. Fight all the other fish going that way. I mean, fighting that current. Y'all ever seen them videos of fish? I mean, the current's going this way, and they're fighting that current, trying to swim upstream. That's, how it ought to be as us as a Christian. The current of the world's going this way. But as a Christian, we ought to turn tail and swim the other way. No, I identify with Christ. I stand for the Lord. I'm going to live for Him. Amen. Have you tasted of that living water, as I asked earlier? Have you been to the well? If you've been saved by the grace of God this morning, are you testifying of that living water? Are you telling other people? If you're saved this morning, you're a missionary. We might as well be in a missions conference this morning. We're in a room full of missionaries. Amen. Praise the Lord. You realize God's called us to Peru, but if He's not called you for the foreign missions, He's called you to local missions. The only difference between us and you is the distance. Amen. That's the only difference. Some is called just to be local right here, but He's called us to go. But we're all in this thing together. Are you testifying of that living water? Two convicting questions. When is the last time you personally led somebody to Jesus Christ? And then the second question is, when is the last time you even tried? We're not responsible to lead them to that decision. I mean, as far as that's up to them. That's us giving them the Lord. We can't make somebody. You can't force somebody to get saved. Amen. But are we doing our part to at least try? I believe God has divine appointments for us. Amen. Just as He specifically went for that woman, I believe God has divine appointments for us as well. Some statistics. I'm about done. Statistics say that on average 150,000 people die every day. That's a lot. 150,000 people die. If you break that down, that's 2 a second. Going out into eternity. 2 people. Just like that. Going out into eternity. Where are they going? Are they going into heaven? Are they dropping off into an eternal hell? Where are they going? I mean, man, people are dying all around us. If we're saved by the grace of God, we've got the best news in all the world. Better than the cure for cancer? I mean, man, could you imagine what that'd do? To have the cure for cancer out there and be able to fix a lot of this stuff, the mess that's going on. But we got something better than that. A cure for the disease of the soul. Amen. Many times we use excuses not to witness like we ought to. Well, I'm just a little too tired to talk to somebody right now. I'm a little tired to show up for outreach and soul winning and stuff like that. The Bible said that Jesus was wearied with His journey. He was in a robe of flesh, amen. He came as a man. He was 100% God and 100% man. See, explain that. I can't, amen. Praise the Lord. But He got weary. And the Bible says He was wearied with His journey. He got tired. But He still made effort to go speak to her and talk to her and reach her. Somebody once said, the bringing of one soul to Jesus Christ is the greatest and highest achievement in the Christian life. There's a little song I learned, a little chorus that I learned at college. My voice ain't nothing, so I ain't going to sing it right now. Praise the Lord, I'll just tell it to you. But it goes like this, just a little chorus. I learned this at Bible college. It said, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for Thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. That ought to be a prayer in our heart. Soul winning for the Christian is not an option, it is a command. Amen. You realize the only alternative to soul winning, the only alternative we have to sharing the gospel with others around us, the only alternative is disobedience to Jesus Christ. There is no other. I mean, He's commanded us to do it. It's not, well, if you feel like it, it'd be nice if you'd go do this. No, He's commanded us to go and to share the gospel. We're either mission fields this morning or we're missionaries. I'll share this and I'll close. This poem the Lord gave me back when I was at Bible college. It's convicting to me, if nobody else. But I want you right now, before I read this poem, no doubt, everybody in here, we probably know somebody, whether our family members, co-workers, loved ones, neighbor, whatever, somebody in our life that is not saved. No doubt, many of us probably right now can think of somebody in our mind that's not saved, that we're praying for, that we'd love to see saved, whatever it may be. Think about that person. As I read this poem, if we fail to do our part to witness. At this point it says, on earth I lived for Jesus, yet constantly afraid, not sure what others thought of me or what they all would say. Too scared to mention Jesus or even say a word. So often many passed on by, his name would go unheard. I missed so many chances to be a light for him, to tell a world of people that's dying in their sin. Even to my closest friend, God's news I never gave, though often I would work with him and talk to him each day. We talked about so many things, but not about my Lord. Although so many times we could, I had an open door. Anytime I'd start to tell him of the only way, fear would quickly strike my heart. I knew not what to say. I did not want to lose this friend. He was so dear, you see. I simply did not realize just how much he hindered me. But never will I have again the chance I had before to be a witness to my friend and lead him through the door. For now our lives are over. Our time on earth is done. We in the court of heaven now appear before the Son. I with the other saints of old observe the great white throne as one by one the lost are called before the Lord alone. Many try repenting. They find that it's too late. They see they will not have the chance to walk through heaven's gate. Suddenly I look to see a man before God's throne screaming out in disbelief because he had not known. Instantly I recognize this friend who was so dear. I shuddered at the thought of what I knew he soon would hear. As the Lord replayed his life, I also watched and cried. For every time I saw my friend, I stood there by his side. While looking back upon his life, he fell down on his face, asking why nobody told him of God's saving grace. He asked of God a second chance, but then it was too late. For he had never trusted Christ, and thus he sealed his fate. As I knew the time had come for God to cast him out, he turned around, his eyes met mine, and then I heard him shout, "You never ever talked of God or told of his great love or told me I could live with him in heaven up above. You never told me I would stand before him on this day, although you knew exactly what the Lord would have to say. I thought you were a friend to me and really truly cared. But if that had been the truth, God's word you would have shared. And now I stand here facing hell for all eternity because a witness for the Lord you have failed to be. I stood there weeping as my friend was cast into the flame. I'll never see his face again or hear him call my name. Oh, how I deeply now regret not telling him of Christ. Instead of dying in his sin, he could have eternal life. I beg of thee, O child of God, do not let one pass by. Please be a witness for the Lord until the day you die." I wonder this morning, I don't know how it'll be at the judgment. I don't know exactly how it'll be. But I wonder how many of us potentially could sit and watch as loved ones, friends, or whatever are cast off into eternity. The hell for all of eternity because we did not warn them. We didn't share the gospel with them. We failed to. We got scared or whatever it may be, and it's scary. Can I be honest? We are scared. It seems like we can talk to people about everything else in the world, but all of a sudden that conversation turns to the Lord. Man, it's like we tense up. It gets scary. That's the opposition, amen. That's spiritual warfare. But can I say, we must warn them. The Bible says their blood will be on our hands if we fail to warn them. I wonder this morning, it's a two-part message. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary for you? If so, you're a missionary this morning, just like we are. Commanded to take the gospel just like we are. Maybe just to those around you, to loved ones, whoever it may be. Are you testifying of that living water? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would stand to your feet this morning, I just want to ask a very important question before I turn it back over to the pastor. This